As you remember from the event, we all said nitrates are a problem in Wakaiva Springs. So let's quit talking and let's do something. My committee, the Natural Resources Committee at the League of Women Voters, so we took the Wakaiva Basin Management Action Plan. And there are many sources of nitrates in the Wakaiva Basin. There's agricultural fertilizer. There's residential fertilizer. There's runoff. And there's nitrates that come from wastewater treatment facilities. So we looked at the wastewater treatment facilities. One of the top ones on that list was the Water Conserve 2 facility. And it is permitted to discharge about 2,500 pounds of nitrate per day. It's not that they do that on a daily basis. They average much less. So we said, how can we reduce the amount of nitrates at that one facility? The facility is owned by, it's a joint project between the City of Orlando and Orange County. So we contacted Dr. Bob Knight, who is an expert on groundwater recharge wetlands, and we said, can you join us in a study to see what we can do to reduce these nitrates? So Dr. Knight worked, and we obtained data from the Water Conserve 2 facility, and he came up with a plan on how to do this. The final report was issued May 8th. It's up on our website, available for anyone to see. And in order to understand the concept and how it works, I would like to introduce Bob Knight, but before I do, an expert in springs. He's the founder of the Howard T. Odom Springs Institute. He is an adjunct professor at the University of Florida. He's done considerable research for the St. John's River Water Management District, nutrient loading in the Wakaiva River and Rock Springs. So he's very familiar with our springs. And without further ado, I would like to ask Dr. Knight to come up and explain his research.
Thank you, Chuck. Thanks, everybody, for coming out today. And we don't have the answers for everything, but we have a lot of information that helps us determine that to take action, you've really got to do things, and you can't just talk about them forever. There are two major problems facing our springs. One is declining flows. We're seeing this all over the state. We're pumping roughly in Florida now 30% of the income to the Florida aquifer. 30% is being pumped. And where does that water come from? Well, if it wasn't coming out of wells, it would be coming out of springs. There's essentially a one-to-one relationship between us withdrawing water from the ground and less water coming out of springs. When we take a glass of water or a glass of whatever's bottled in Orlando, that's one less glass of water coming out of the springs. As a result of that, aquifer levels are falling. We're withdrawing water from the aquifer faster than it can be recharged. So the levels are falling, and our spring flows are declining. We're actually pumping about 2.6 billion gallons a day is the latest estimate from the U.S. Geological Survey in North Florida. 2.6 billion gallons every day. The total recharge to the Florida aquifer in Florida is about 9 billion gallons a day. So this is about 30% of the total income to the Florida aquifer. Next slide. This pumping is being done through several million wells. The largest wells get consumptive use permits. There are over 28,000 consumptive use permits in North Florida and the three water management districts that are illustrated here. They authorize not just the 2.6 billion gallons a day of pumping that's currently occurring, but they authorize 2 billion gallons a day more than that, 4.6 billion gallons a day. And if you take 4.6 and divide it by 9, you get about roughly 50% of the average income to the Florida aquifer is allocated for pumping already. We're in serious problems, and you may have noticed it if you go to springs. And if you look at the river flows, you'll see that almost all our rivers' base flows are dependent on spring flows. And the St. John's River is salty. The Crystal River is salty. The Lower Suwannee River is salty. All our rivers are salty because there's less flow coming out to the ocean. And this is one of the reasons. In addition to these larger wells that are typically 100,000 gallons a day or more per well, that water's free for these individuals that want to pump this water. There's about a million private wells, too. So there's a lot of straws in the aquifer. And they're essentially all drawing from the same source of water. The Floridan aquifer is a large aquifer. It extends all the way to South Carolina on the north and all the way to Mississippi on the west. It's about 100,000 square miles, and about half of it's in Florida. But we are the biggest user of the aquifer. As if that's not bad enough, the Department of Environmental Protection is projecting that we're going to be pumping about 2 billion gallons a day, even more, in 20 years or 30 years. This is the growth rate of pumping. This pumping is for the whole state. The Floridan aquifer is only used in the northern half of the state. It's not the principal aquifer south of here, where they use the Biscayne and some other shallow surficial aquifers. And out in the panhandle, they use another aquifer. And the total aquifer pumping in the state right now, groundwater pumping, is over 4 billion gallons a day. Like I said, we're pumping 2.6 out of the Floridan. And it's expected to go up, especially if we don't find ways to conserve water and use less in our daily lives. Because of this, the groundwater levels are declining in these wells. When you sort of average this all over North Florida, it's about 2 inches a year of average decline in the Floridan aquifer. 2 inches doesn't sound like much, but if you assume a porosity for the aquifer and take the area of that, that's about a half a billion gallons every day less water in the Floridan aquifer. What happens when you have lower aquifer levels? You have lower spring flow levels. Springs flow in direct relation to the level of the aquifer. It really doesn't matter if somebody's pumping if the aquifer level doesn't come down, but of course it does. It's a finite resource, and pumping pulls water out just the way springs pull water out of the aquifer. The other big problem in our springs is contamination by nitrate nitrogen. Nitrate is a natural element. It's necessary for growth of all plants and all animals. But when we make fertilizer, nowadays we've developed the technique to make fertilizer out of the nitrogen in the atmosphere. Remember, we're surrounded by nitrogen. And those fertilizers now are ubiquitous. Sources are everything we do. I mean, there are urban stormwaters. There are urban fertilizers. There are agricultural fertilizers. We have nitrate everywhere. Where the Floridan aquifer is vulnerable, there's nitrate in it. And it's not just in Florida, it's over the whole country, wherever there's vulnerable aquifers. This is a map that shows the nitrate concentrations in the groundwater under all of Florida for the period 2000 to 2004. And there's like 20,000 well data points on here. And what you see is a large part of the state is blue, and that's basically levels of nitrate that are the background. Those are the baseline levels, but the aquifer is protected in those areas from nitrate contamination, except in some high-intensity areas like Miami down there. The areas that are highly contaminated with nitrate are the areas where the aquifer is exposed, the Floridan aquifer is exposed. Elevated levels of nitrate up to over 10 milligrams per liter in the red. A lot of them are above the standard for nitrate in springs, which is 0.35. Turns out that's 30% of the entire groundwater in Florida that's above the standard for springs. Now, there aren't springs anymore in South Florida. They already dried theirs up. But the aquifer is contaminated. It's like a leaking underground storage tank. We've contaminated an enormous part of the aquifer. Over 18%, almost 20% of the state, is over 1 milligram per liter. The standard for groundwater is 10 milligrams per liter. It's perfectly all right. Not a problem. Until they decided that springs were sensitive. They forgot that groundwater and surface water are the same thing in Florida. This is a blow-up of Orange County area in Lake County. You can see where the hot spots are as of 2000 to 2004. You can see the location of Wakiva Springs and Rock Springs. You see that they're in areas of high groundwater nitrate levels. No wonder there's high nitrate coming out of those springs, about 1 to 2 milligrams per liter coming out of those springs. You can see the location. We're going to be talking about the Conserve 2 project down in southwest Orange County and in eastern Lake County. The Reedy Creek Ribs are down there in the lower corner of Orange County. Parts of the county are very well protected or don't have high sources of nitrogen loading, one or the other, and they're still at background. But large parts of the county, as is the rest of North Florida, are contaminated with nitrate in our groundwater. Now, the Department of Environmental Protection commissioned a study back in 2000, starting in 2006, I think, through 2009. MACTEC did the study, and this is their final graph showing the sources of nitrate that were estimated to be going to Wekiwa Springs. What they found in their evaluation was that septic tanks and fertilizer were probably the biggest inputs of nitrate. These are from very diffuse sources. Everybody's fertilizing, both agriculture and urban. There's septic tanks all over the spring shed. Sewers, our wastewater facilities, were putting in roughly 12% of the nitrate actually getting to Wekiwa Springs based on their estimate. And, of course, there's atmospheric inputs. Rainfall is an input. It carries nitrogen in livestock and other sources. The thing about septic tanks and fertilizer is it's very hard to control. You have to basically change the behavior of hundreds of thousands of people. Wastewater facilities are operated by a few dozen organizations that have a public responsibility and also are well-funded to do things. So the first part that we're thinking about picking off here is the wastewater discharges. A 2004 report, EPA said you need to lower the nitrate down to like 0.2 milligrams per liter. And DEP followed it up immediately and said we need to put all the wastewater treatment plants in the spring shed of Wekiwa on advanced wastewater treatment, which means you reduce the nitrogen down to about 3 milligrams per liter coming in. Some of those plants opted out. One in particular, the Conserve system, did an affirmative demonstration that indicated that they weren't part of the problem. And so they've been let off the hook in terms of doing any upgrades. There's a lot of evidence that spray fields and ribs elevate nitrate in the groundwater. It's not surprising. These wastewater discharges were purposely put onto the land to avoid polluting our surface waters. You remember Orlando used to discharge to Lake Toho. It's cheaper just to put a pipe out to the nearest water body and discharge and just polluted the heck out of that lake. Well, not anymore. Now the technology is to put all that into the ground where it's not a problem. It's out of sight. It's gone. You know, the groundwater standard is 10 milligrams per liter. The standard in the whole industry across North Florida is to just treat the wastewater to 10 milligrams per liter of total nitrogen and then put it into a spray field or a rib. And what's the consequence when you do that? Well, the standard is 10, but now we have the spring standard, 0.35. How can the two things be the same? And we live in the land of schizophrenia right now in Florida because we have these polarly opposite requirements. So the next slide shows some data from a typical spray field in Alachua County. These are groundwater nitrate levels here on this y-axis. They go up to 10 milligrams per liter. These are all monitoring wells, including a background well at the bottom there showing that the ambience Florida NOC for less than 0.1 milligram per liter. But you can see the monitoring wells and how over time this facility started up in the mid-2000s. Over time, the levels in the groundwater are going up. They're all in the 5 to 10 range, say, if you will, milligrams per liter of total nitrogen. So if we allow somebody to put 10 milligrams per liter, even on a spray field, and a spray field is designed to harvest a crop to remove the nitrogen, it doesn't work for getting rid of the nitrogen. It maybe takes up 10, 20, 30% of the nitrogen. Doesn't get rid of all of it. And so these are the typical numbers you see under spray fields in Florida. In fact, the city of Tallahassee, you're going to be hearing more about later, award-winning spray field in the whole state of Florida, thousands of acres, turned out to be 80% of the load going to Wekiwa Springs. Next slide. A rib, a rapid infiltration basin, is the fastest way to inject water into the ground other than putting it directly into a pipe. It's basically putting it in an unvegetated basin and recharging the ground with it. This one, the ribs actually, it looks like they've contaminated the background well, which is the red one, or maybe the background really was that high. But you see that the groundwater under these rib systems in Alachua County are above 5 milligrams per liter, which is typical. What have we gotten for this, that map? All these springs are contaminated. These are all ones that are now listed as impaired. They're all going to be listed. Greater than 60% of the springs in the state are above the 0.35 limit, so we're going to see a lot of impaired springs. Our state is spending hundreds of thousands of dollars on every one of these total maximum daily load studies, but none of these springs are getting better. I would say Wekiwa is the only one that's got really hope of its nitrate levels coming down significantly because the city went ahead and decided to go ahead and treat their wastewater to a higher level. One solution in North Florida that helps springs is that rather than going through a rib, which is unvegetated, or going through a spray field that is unsaturated. You go through a saturated soil system with wetland plants in it. You can destroy the nitrogen in the water through a process called denitrification. It's actually a transformation of the nitrogen from nitrate to nitrogen gas, and the gas escapes. It's not in the water anymore, and it's not a problem. And these wetlands work extremely well for that, and that's what I want to talk about just a little bit. I wrote the original book on the subject, and this technology's been around for 40 years now. It actually started by the same H.T. Odom that studied Silver Springs. He also started treatment wetlands. This is a figure from a book that he did with Kathy Yule about how wetlands can act as interfaces between society and our surface waters and groundwaters. And he started the Cypress Dome Project in Gainesville in 1975, showing how wetlands work. And since then, we've been perfecting the technique so that treatment wetlands are being used around the world. You know, in the Everglades, we've built over 50,000 acres of treatment marshes to treat the runoff from the sugarcane fields, basically, to protect the Everglades, a $1 billion project. So how do they work? The constructed wetlands we build are mimicking natural wetlands. They have all the biotic diversity of natural wetlands in terms of plants and animals. They attract animals because they got water and they got food. And the plants have to be able to withstand growing in saturated soil conditions. That's what wetland plants are. They're very productive because they have water and a lot of sunlight. They have hundreds of processes, biogeochemical processes, that convert pollutants into harmless substances, and they use it as food, basically. They're solar-powered, so they don't have to be operated like a conventional wastewater treatment plant. It turns out they're a lot cheaper than conventional wastewater treatment because of the operational costs, especially. You know, Orlando has one of the biggest municipal treatment wetlands in the state. So the process I'm talking about is we've got polluted water coming into the wetland from the treatment plant that's got nitrogen in it, and it's going through these processes. The final process that gets rid of the nitrogen is the denitrification process. The difference between a rib and a wetland is that a rib is operated to be unsaturated. In other words, you put some water in, then you let it dry out. You put some water in, you let it dry out. Well, that's not necessary in a wetland, even a groundwater recharge wetland. You want to keep it saturated because the bugs that remove the nitrate live in these saturated, low-oxygen conditions. And the food that they need is from the carbon from the plants. The plants provide the food, the energy for the bugs. I want to give you some examples of some wetlands, the Orlando Wilderness Wetland. They've got the longest data record of a municipal wetland in Florida. The Green Cay Wetlands, a large-scale groundwater recharge wetland in Palm Beach County. And we've been working to develop the design principles for this with Gainesville Regional Utilities for the last 4 years in Gainesville. The water will be in the wetlands for just a matter of a few days, typically, up to a week or so. You're loading the water in like it's 24 inches deep or 18 inches deep, and it's going into the ground an inch a day or something like that. So it might be a week, it might be 2 weeks. But that very much affects how much treatment you get. So the Orlando system is 2 square miles, 1,200 acres. It started in 1987. It was designed at a time when we knew very little about treatment wetlands. And they over-designed it, which was great. It was originally designed for 20 million gallons a day, and it receives 30 million now, at least it has an operational capacity. And they have a very state-of-the-art treatment plant at the Iron Bridge Treatment Plant that removes the total nitrogen down to 2.4 milligrams per liter before it goes into the wetland. Well, the wetland then takes the total nitrogen down to 0.8. And this is not just the nitrate nitrogen. This is also the organic nitrogen that's in that water. This is the lowest total nitrogen concentration that I've ever seen coming out of a treatment system. And the phosphorus goes down, too. This system discharges to the St. John's River, so it has very low standards for nitrogen and phosphorus. These are the long-term data for the inflow from the treatment plant. The blue lines you see are in the range of a half to like 2 parts per million for total nitrogen. That's coming out of an AWT wastewater treatment plant, like what Tallahassee's doing right now. And then the nitrate coming out of the wetland is the red line, and that's the total nitrogen is 0.8 coming out of the wetland, but the nitrate itself is all essentially at background concentration. Wetlands will easily take nitrate if they have enough residence time down to 0.05, which is the background concentration in the aquifer. And they have a lot of visitors. It's probably somebody here in the room. And, of course, they have a lot of wildlife out there. That's why people go out there. The Green Cay Wetlands, this is the most popular wildlife photography spot in Palm Beach County now. This is a nature center built on the edge of this treatment wetland, 70-acre treatment wetland, receives 3 million gallons a day. That's an average infiltration rate after a period of, that's about 6 years or so now, 11 inches a week, which is a high recharge rate. It has zero discharge, and they've got this boardwalk system that's just amazing. You're right with the wildlife. The wildlife is totally used to people. And so these make wonderful parks. They have up to 400,000 visitors a year to this, which is more than most of our state parks in Florida. Green Cay and Wakodahatchee down in South Florida were not designed to get very low nitrate levels in the groundwater. That wasn't the way they were designed, but that's what we're perfecting in Gainesville now. This is one of the treatment marshes there. Next slide. There's actually, this is the wastewater treatment plant for Gainesville. It's called the Kanapahaw Wastewater Treatment Plant. There's three cells that were constructed, the northern one, the second one. These are both wetland cells, and then a third cell, which was a rib cell. What we were doing is experimental comparison between wetland cells and rib cells. In the surface water, the nitrate coming into the system is about 4 or 5 milligrams per liter. It's off this chart. These are the nitrate levels in the surface water and then in the groundwater in each of these three cells. Comparing wetlands being loaded at two different loading rates, this is loaded at lower loading rates, you get lower nitrate levels. And actually what's in the ground is background. And then this one is getting from like 5 down to 1, and then it's getting to very low levels going into the ground. So even at quite high loading rates, you can get very low numbers below the 0.35 standard. And then the rib doesn't do as well. But even a rib, if you operate a rib poorly, it turns out it can get some denitrification. And a lot of people have found that out, and they've come up to me and they said, well, DEP won't let me operate it like that. And I said, well, that's too bad because it's working like a wetland. They said, yeah, I mean, nitrate levels are really low, but that's against the rules for ribs. You still need a wastewater treatment facility to treat the water to a good enough quality to go into the wetland. Because you don't want to have poor habitat by putting really strong raw wastewater into it. And you construct a wetland for nitrification, denitrification, and then you've got to infiltrate the water. And so there's more than one way to design these. That's still being perfected. And I'd like to talk about specifically the evaluation they asked me to do on Conserve site. Conserve facility shown in the red dots here. This is the overall groundwater shed that feeds the Wekiva River system. This is not just Wekiwa Springs we're talking about. This is the whole Wekiva River, because there are springs all over the place feeding the Wekiva River. The total flow in the river is almost 195 million gallons a day. I mean, it's a lot of flow coming out of the river. Wekiwa Springs is only about 50 to 70 CFS, but the whole river system puts out 300 CFS. It's a lot of water. And that's the size spring shed. It's almost 1,000 square miles that feeds that amount of water at about an average recharge rate of about 4.5 inches a year. The historic groundwater nitrate level at Kiowa Springs was less than 0.1 milligrams per liter, the only data we have from the 20s. We have flow problems at Wekiva. These are annual averages of flow at Kiowa Springs over the period of record. And you can see the flow has declined from the 70 to 80 range down now to the less than 60 range. It's not in free fall, but the flow is in Wekiva is coming down. It's not surprising. Orange County is pumping 250 million gallons a day. Polk County is pumping 250 million gallons a day on average. Nitrate levels are going up. The target from the PLRG study was 0.22 nitrate. Like I said, the state standard is 0.35, which is even higher. We don't have any historic data points. This is Wekiva and Rock Springs. Some people said, oh, the levels in Wekiva are coming down. They're the red diamonds. It's really not sure. When you take annual averages, they pretty much have leveled off. And Rock Springs looks like it's leveled off, too. So that's good. Maybe the loads aren't going up in the area because the levels aren't going up, but they're extremely elevated compared to what we'd like to see in Wekiva and Rock Springs. Next slide. So Conserve 2, what would it take? We just evaluated this one unit, Ripsite 6, but the total area of Conserve 2 is over 3,000 acres. The total permanent flow is 70 million gallons a day. 60% of that goes to reuse, mostly agricultural reuse, and 40% goes to recharge. That's about 15 million gallons a day of recharge. That recharge is carrying about 300 metric tons a year of elemental nitrogen to groundwater. It's going to groundwater. We don't know exactly where it's going. But the basins, there's 132 of them with 185 acres. And the permitted flow in the basins is twice what they're actually getting. So it can be increased in the future. The study we did was just looking at the upper part of Ripsite 6. We basically, instead of using the rib cells, which are very small footprints, we just basically redesigned it as three wetland cells. And these cells are shown in green here, these green triangles and trapezoids. And basically, in wetland design, you put the water in, you have a deep water zone, which is those blue areas. You let the water then spread out from the deep water zone into a marsh. It goes through another deep water zone, which improves the hydraulics of the system in terms of sheet flow. And then it comes out to a deep zone and goes to these cells. The first cell would probably have to be amended. The soils would have to be amended so that the water would not all infiltrate. The infiltration rates are really high in these sandy soils. So you want to hold up the water long enough to get the nitrate out and then let it infiltrate in the final cells. We estimated what you could get to at an average inflow concentration of 5.3, which is one period of record number. You could get down to like less than 0.25, which is essentially the TMDL for Wekiwa Springs. And for about $10 to $15 million to convert for a total of 5 million gallons a day. So the whole system, if you did all 15 million gallons a day, it could be $30 to $45 million of additional cost to convert it. But then the operational cost is probably less than the RIBs. So groundwater recharge wetlands, you can tell I like them. I think they're a great idea. They're cost-effective. The city and the county both have wetland systems. They're very familiar with wetlands. They haven't done this concept before. The Lake Marden project's closest to this. They have wetlands that recharge the ground and then feed Lake Marden. This is an additional expense that would have to be incurred. But if you take that 300 metric tons a year, it's either going to Wekiwa Springs and that springs group or it's going to people's wells. And would you rather drink it or rather have it go to the springs? I would rather not have either. I'd rather have it taken out at a treatment plant that could enhance wetlands.
Back tonight.